La 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 la. Everybody, welcome back to Ready, Set, Stream, Gilmore Girls Edition. So we just finished watching Season 1, Episode 5, which is called Cinnamon's Weight. Mark,
I'm sure that wasn't Cinnamon's Cake. We'll get into that.
It was definitely a weight.
Yeah.
But, yes.
There was some cake involved.
Where was cake involved?
We'll see.
Oh, okay.
It's coming.
Okay, so this...
not the kind of cake you're thinking of.
Oh, good Lord. Okay, so you're going there with it. All right. So this episode starts
I got to take care of a little business.
Oh, really? What business do you have?
Be sure to like, rate, subscribe, share, comment, and where you lead, you can surely follow us at the links below.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Boom.
Thank
you. Mic drop.
Okay.
Now you proceed.
Okay, I will proceed. So this episode starts off at Friday night dinner, which I thought was great because one of the things that we had kind of missed from the last episode was the lack of a Friday night dinner. So.
Yeah, I really miss Emily and Richard, but yes. Richard's kind of MIA right now.
Richard is missing, and that is kind of the sole source of the beginning of this conversation because Lorelai asks, you know, where's Dad? And Emily just says he's away on business. And Lorelai's like, location's top secret.
Yeah, top secret.
And she's like, Germany. Lorelai's, are we insuring Nazis now?
Yeah, like she casually drops Nazis in
yeah.
there. Oh, Lord.
And Emily gets this prim look on her face, you know, your father doesn't know any Nazis. And at that point, they start kind of talking about a family member, apparently, that had just died. And Emily's like, oh, by the way, you know, your cousin Claudia, for all intents and purposes, Claudia died. And Lorelai's like, I'm hearing the name, but I don't know what that is. And she's like, Claudia, you know, it's your grandfather's, you know, it's your dad. Grandmother's sister's girl.
You want to try to figure this one out? Because I'm clueless.
Okay. So if it's her dad's grandmother, then that's his great grandmother.
Yeah.
So that would be her great great grandmother.
Yeah, I'm rooting for you.
And so let's back up. If it's his great grandmother's sister, then would that be his great aunt? And if it is his great aunt's daughter, then what's a great aunt's daughter?
I got so many cousins, first cousin, second cousin, third cousin. I can't even keep up my own family. So I don't have a clue about that one.
Figure my way through this one. If anybody can figure that one out,
Emily seems to know precisely who it is.
If anybody can figure that out, then definitely write in because I got nothing there. And Lorelai's response is, nothing.
You were giving it a good old college try there. I'll give you credit for that. I definitely did try,
but I can't noodle my way through that one today. But Emily suggests, you know, this is a funeral's on Thursday. Why don't we all go together? And Lorelai's like, well, two problems. It's impossible for me to get away from the inn on Thursday, and I never met this woman. And
sure you did.
Emily's all about, well, you most certainly have. And she said, when? And Emily's like, several times. Lorelai's like, I'll take one. Which I thought was a hysterical line. So Emily says they went to her house in Groton to see the first moon landing.
Now, that was 1969. So how old is Lorelai here?
Well, Lauren Graham, who plays Lorelai, was born March 16th, 1967. She's the same age as her character in this season, which is 32. So if they went to Groton to this woman's house to see the first moon landing, then Lorelai would have had to have been barely two.
Now, how many people could remember someone they met at two? I mean, I have a flash memory when I was about three or four.
No,
at best.
There's no way in the world.
A flash memory. Something that happened, jarred my memory, like seeing a picture.
I don't think I remember anything when I was two.
Not two. No, definitely not two.
I do remember things from when I was three.
Yeah, my earliest memories.
A very traumatic experience. Oh,
I don't want to hear that one.
Yeah, no. But
I had fond memory flashes. It's definitely like if I saw a picture, it would bring me back. And I'd be like, yeah, I remember that, kind of. You know, maybe that's your mind just telling you remembered. I don't know.
Well, and this is Lorelai's response, is that I have no memory of this woman. And Emily's like, Rory, correct me if I'm wrong, but men have walked on the moon regardless of if your mother remembers it or not. And Rory's like... There's the rumor.
Yeah, that's the rumor. Let me just say, I'm with Rory on this one. I'm not big on conspiracy theories, but there's a lot of doubt there for me personally.
I wanted to ask, was the fact fact that Rory's word choice, that's the rumor.
Yeah.
Does that kind of indicate a little skepticism on Rory's part?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm with her on that one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm with her.
And Lorelai says, I know men walked on the moon. I just don't know Claudia. Which I think is funny. So Emily's like, so you're not going. Lorelai is, not this time. And I love this line. I love it. Emily responds back with, well, I don't think Claudia's planning to die a second time. Yeah.
This is like the second one. I was like, I'll catch her on the flip side.
Yeah. And Rory's only response is just to kind of look down and kind of grin.
Oh, God. Because
I think she thought that was kind of funny, too.
That's hilarious.
And Emily's like, wait, Rudolf Godfrey. And Lorelai says, a second cousin.
And this whole thing's a mess.
And Emily says, no, a Nazi that we knew that I'd forgotten. And Lorelai's face, I love her face, is priceless. Her jaw just drops. And she said, we stayed with him once in Munich. Nice old man, interesting stories. And Lorelai's like, you socialized with a known Nazi? That's despicable. That's heinous.
That reminds me of Daffy Duck. That's despicable.
Despicable. And Emily says, no, dear, that was a joke.
Yeah, there's a little bit of shade there, too.
But Rory laughs, and Lorelai's face, of course, kind of surprised. And I love the fact that Rory kind of tried to hide her smile, you know, because it was at her mother's expense. But yeah. I just love that whole sequence, because I thought, hey, you know, Emily actually made a joke here.
Yeah.
Is this Emily kind of softening a little bit?
I noticed
maybe throwing out a little bit of her own humor.
A little softer when Richard's not around. Have
really?
You picked up on that?
Not yet, because Richard's always been around thus far. But that's
just look for that.
That's the first time that I've ever known Emily to crack a joke.
Yeah.
Up to this point, she's been very serious, kind of mean, but this was kind of a fun scene.
That was her being lighthearted.
She was being lighthearted. She cracked an actual joke.
If you can call it that.
And caught Lorelai off guard and surprised her, which I think is a bonus.
Yeah.
Because nothing seems to catch Lorelai off guard.
She had to get it from somewhere.
She can banter with the best of them.
Yeah, she had to inherit it from somebody.
Not necessarily. Some people can cultivate their own skills.
Well, maybe.
I have to argue the point on that one.
Maybe.
All right, so then we move on.
Openings.
Yeah, we have the opening music. And then, of course,
I'll follow you.
We are at the house, and Lorelai, just out of the blue, first line, just says...
She got up on the wrong side of the bed there.
I do believe she did.
She's still a little rocky.
As is evidenced by the coming conversation, because she, you know, Rory has come out of her room, she shut the door, and then Lorelai's first comment is, I have an idea for a new reality show. Everyone looks out their kitchen window for a change. And Rory's like, wow, she's cranky this morning. And Lorelai's like, let's just say the world's got a formidable opponent.
Yeah, that just speaks to her.
Yeah.
Her mindset, her mood, everything. I love that line.
And then Rory kind of stops, and she turns around and she says, wait, shouldn't she be baking? And Lorelai's like, don't know, shouldn't you be knitting? And Rory says, the Chilton bake sale is today.
Yeah.
And, you know, so she's like freaking out because she, naturally, when have you seen Lorelai cook up to this point?
Lorelai don't bake.
Everything has been takeout.
I think she has a plan, but we'll
see.
Or
they go to Luke's to eat.
Yeah.
But Lorelai says, I've got it covered. And Rory's like, they expect things are going to be homemade. By someone other than Dolly Madison. In other words, not store-bought.
No, you want me to tell you who Dolly Madison is?
What,
I did some Gilmore.
Do tell.
Dolly Todd Madison was the wife of the fourth president, James Madison. Do you think it has anything to do with this?
No, but...
Oh, you mean Dolly Madison for the pre-made sweet cakes in the grocery store.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
I got a little off-track.
Yeah. So Rory's reference is basically saying nothing store-bought. They expect everything to be homemade. And Lorelai said, I have it covered. Again. And Rory's like, all parents pitch in. This is really important. You know that, right? And Lorelai's like, didn't know that. In that case, I don't have it covered.
Yeah.
And then she says, I have it covered.
Yeah, she's going to employ somebody for this.
So she tells her, you know, to hit the stereo, grab your stuff, let's go. And Rory says, it's not her. And when she opens the bedroom door, we see Lane dancing, like, with wild abandon. And
Lane was in her hiding place from her mother.
Yes. And Rory and Lorelai come into the doorway, and Lorelai says, where does your mom think you are? And Lane says, on a park bench contemplating the reunification of the two Koreas. And Lorelai said, not skanking to Ranson.
Well, she did look like...
Because the song that was playing was Tomb Bop.
Yeah, but she did look like Skanky Longstock was there. She had the little pigtails in it.
But this song by Ranson, Time Bomb, it's actually played later on in a future season by certain band that is going to emerge on the
show. And it has to tie with Lane there, don't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that it was very fitting that kind of came out. So after that's over, you know, Lane runs off. They're leaving the house. And outside, they run into Babette and Maury.
Oh, Lord.
Maury is pulling a little, you know, those little kid wagons that you...
Yeah, almost like a converted wheelbarrow with a little canopy on it.
But it's got a canopy on it made to look like a bassinet. And like a baby bassinet.
Yeah.
And their cat Cinnamon is inside riding. And Babette, you know, said that Maury made it. Cinnamon's not walking very good these days. I don't want
to get too deep here, but I just got to mention our little chihuahua, Frodo the First.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you'll do anything for your fur babies.
Absolutely.
And he had some spine issues. He couldn't use his back legs at one point. Then he used it for a little bit, the little wheelchair we got him.
Yeah.
But then he couldn't because his front
legs were too weak to help him pull the back legs, which were useless.
But the vet said he wasn't in pain, and we cared for him. He was like basically an invalid, and we cared for him. We had him another year. I'm not going to talk because I'll lose it.
I had to tell the vet, you're going to have to tell us when it's time.
Yeah,
because
let's stop here.
I can't.
I'm going to get too emotional.
As long as he's not in pain, we want to keep him as long as possible. But
we will
end there because we both get extremely emotional over this dog.
But they're a cute couple. How they're taking care of their baby.
How many years now?
Oh, Lord.
4 or 5?
Yeah, about 5.
5 years and we're still this emotional about this dog.
I'm starting.
Okay, I'm quitting. I'm quitting. Yeah, me too. So anyway, Babette says that Cinnamon still likes a nice walk.
Yeah,
and then Maury says something in Italian, and Babette says mentions that he's speaking in Italian makes him sound so sexy, and she shows the canopy, and she says that's Cinnamon's private area. Sometimes she likes to be alone, just like Maury in that way.
Yeah,
you know, and she asks him to speak Italian again. He's like, not on command, Babs. The way he talked to her was so cute, and the fact that he called her Babs, and he was blushing, and she even mentions, oh, he's blushing, and that's so cute, and then they start to walk off. But the two of them are such a cute couple. I just thought they were adorable.
Cute.
But yes,
it just reminded me of us, how we took care of Frodo. So
yeah, it did.
That was my point, without getting too involved in it.
Yeah, but yes, I do want to talk about Sally Struthers, who plays Babette, for just a minute.
Yeah, we kind of skimmed over her. She was
in another episode.
We couldn't give too much away.
Yeah.
So,
but in this particular episode, this one is kind of all about her and Maury, among other things. But this.
Cinnamon. Wake.
Yeah, it's Cinnamon's Wake. That says it all. We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves.
We touched on the cake just a minute ago.
Yeah,
but that
there
was
you
my
go.
Cake part.
But I do want to do a little bit of information about Sally Struthers. She's had a very, very illustrious career.
Quite the career.
Yes. She played this character of Babette based off of Ruth Gordon, both in the movie The Great Houdini, and Ruth Gordon was also in Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, yeah.
Rory mentioned him, and then he knew the reference.
He ties in.
But
I remember her from Every Which Way But Loose. Turn Cloud.
Yeah.
She's the old woman in there.
But she, of course, is best known for her role as Gloria in the show All in the Family, where she won 2 Emmys for that.
Yeah.
And it even had a
Meathead.
Spin-off. Yeah. And it even had a spin-off show.
Yeah, Meathead did her wrong on that. That's why she got her own show.
Called Gloria, but it only went for 1 season.
Yeah, he kind of did it wrong and left her, you know, went to a commune or something. He's a hippie anyway.
But she also played Marcia Shrimpton in the TV version of 9 to 5, as well as playing Roz, a different 9 to 5 character, in the musical version of the story.
Yeah, I remember the TV show. It lasted about 5 seasons, and I was surprised because they kept changing the characters around. And like they even had 2 F Hearts, you know. And we all know he's a
Franklin
sexist.
Hart.
Yeah, he's a sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot. Anyway, but I'm surprised it lasted that long.
If you don't know why we said that,
I love that movie.
If you don't know why we said that, it's probably because you have not seen the movie 9 to 5.
You gotta go watch
it. And you gotta go watch it. It's hysterically funny.
That's classic Dolly right there, boy.
Classic Dolly. Classic
Everybody.
Jane Fonda. Classic Dabney Coleman.
Yeah.
And also, what is her name? Lily Tomlin.
And F Hart. Love how she holds the folder up.
Right.
Fart.
But some other, along with doing a lot of voiceover work for like Dinosaurs, Disney's Tailspin, Flintstones, and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's done a lot of stage performance. So she did, she was in Grease, Annie, Legally Blonde, The Full Monty, and an award-winning role as Fairy Godmother in Cinderella.
Well, she's been all over the gambit then.
She sure has. And you had found out something about...
She works hard for the money.
You had found out something about Legally Blonde that kind of ties in here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'll get on into that later on the podcast.
Okay, we'll bring that up again later. But she's also very much into activism. For a while there, was it back in the 80s?
80s, 90s. 90s-ish. Early 90s. Yeah. I remember those commercials, Feed the Children or something.
Child Fun commercials, yeah.
You know, what really ticked me off is the comedians in Living Color TV show, they made fun of her because, you know, they shamed her. She was a little heavier at the time. You know, she was getting a little heavier, and they were, like, making fun of her, like, she's stealing the food, and she's not giving it to... when she's trying, when somebody's trying to do good work for children and feed the children, just stop.
Yeah.
Leave it.
Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, that's in poor taste to me. Anybody that puts time, effort, and whatnot into helping other people...
Her heart's in the right place. You don't
have to do that. Her heart's in the right place. Then I don't think you should make fun of that. I really don't.
She also did some commercials for ICS.
Oh, yeah, she did.
International
Correspondence
School or something. I always thought that was funny. Also saw an interview with her where she claimed that she had... I don't know if this is... According to her, it's verified, but she had an affair with the King of Rock and Roll, Elvis Presley, at 21. She said she looked 16 at the time. Her and some friends went down to Palm Springs to meet him, and she said they hit it off, and he got her alone and sang Spanish as to her like 20 times. She kept telling him, do it again, you know? And she was smitten. And the relationship lasted about 2 months until she introduced him to one of her other friends. And, well, you know how the king was.
Right.
He mooned on to greener pastures, you know?
Right.
But she said she had her time with him and she was happy about it.
Yeah, well, there you go. So that's kind of our little tribute to Sally Struthers.
Yeah, fascinating.
For Babette. So as Babette and Maury and Cinnamon roll away, Rory just kind of looks at him and says, our town is weird. And Lorelai's like, thank God. And I just kind of really love Lorelai's outlook there.
Oh, yeah. She loves it.
She loves their weird little town.
Quirkiness.
She loves its quirkiness.
All their little traditions.
It's unique. Yes.
We'll get to that later,
too. Rory says, see you later. And Lorelai's like, for what? And Rory's like, Mom, the bake sale. And Lorelai's like, I got the vein in the forehead. Woo.
Oh, also.
And she's excited about it.
Also, if you pause it just right, you can see Lorelai shooting her the bird.
It was not intentional.
Oh, she's holding
She's holding a big coffee
mug. She's pointing
at
it with the bird.
And the only digit that she had, that she used that was free, was her middle finger. And it's pointing directly at Rory, kind of sideways.
Yeah.
So,
and Rory wasn't too happy either.
It wasn't really the bird.
How I took it, because she's like, ooh, I got that vein. Boom. Bird drop.
Yep.
Anyways.
So, from that scene, we move on, and immediately we see Dean.
Oh, no.
This is Dean's first appearance, I do believe, since the very first episode where he introduced himself to Rory.
What was he hiding in the shrubs? Because it's like he was stalking her again.
That's where
he
was. I'm
getting those stalking vibes.
But he is watching Rory walk by.
From afar.
To get on the bus.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's in the, yeah.
And he decides that he kind of jumps up on the bus, and with her, he sits
just
in the seat behind her.
Just makes himself at home.
And he says hi, and she's so
he scares
taken
the bejesus out of her
that she actually yelps in surprise. So,
well, when a stalker makes his presence known, you usually do have that reaction.
Oh my Lord, okay. And she's,
yeah, he's trying to get his flirt on, and he claims it's just to thank her for the job.
Right.
But any excuse to get near her, he's going to take it.
So he asks her if she's reading a good book, and she said she doesn't know yet.
I have common interests with you. Yeah, he's working his magic.
Right.
He's
trying to get go out with the girl that he likes.
You know, he's already talked to Lane, so Lane's talking him up behind the scenes, so he knows his...
Yes, because Lane did mention that he had asked her.
Oh, yeah, he's working.
Yeah, he said that he saw her standing there, and he thought he'd say hello. And Rory's like, hello? And so he thanks her for helping him get a job. He says it keeps him solvent.
Rory's very awkward.
Rory is awkward in this scene.
It's her first love, so.
First crush. Let's call it a crush.
She don't know
right
how
now
to behave.
So she says, well, solvent's good. And he asks her, are you always so serious? And she says, No. And Dean's like, oh, I mean, he just kind of is like, yeah, okay, what to say next?
This is tough. He's
thinking. He's trying to drag every word out of her. Ice queen, you know? He's trying to drag every word out of her. And he says, well, how long does it take you to get to school? And she says, 40 minutes.
You've kind of been and there, and I've kind of been there.
Yeah, and then that part. I've gone farther than 40 minutes to get to work.
No, I'm talking about trying to get through to somebody.
Well, difficult, that's true.
To break through the little barrier, though.
Yes, that is very true. But she, all of a sudden, when he asked her that, she pauses and she says, this is going to Hartford, this bus. You go to school here, you have to get off the bus. She looks suddenly very frantic and worried, and she's calling to the driver to stop the bus. And Dean just laughs, and he says,
yeah, he's cool, man.
Luke, he says, you know, you're forgetting something. He says, buses make stops. And yeah, he gets up as the bus stops, and he says, goodbye, Lorelai Gilmore. He
shook her to the imp right there, boy.
But I thought it was interesting that he called her by her full name, and he said, goodbye, Lorelai Gilmore.
Somebody else says that later. We'll find
out. So we're going to round back on that. I think
this
is kind
of fit. I'm going to tie this in.
But he gets off the bus, and she's kind of sitting there looking a little surprised, a little flustered.
Yeah.
Maybe a little excited. I don't know. It's kind of interesting
for
her.
She don't know what's going on.
But then we flash to the inn.
Here's one of your favorites.
Oh, immediately there is a group of men that come in, and they go up to Michelle at the front desk while he's just hanging up the phone.
I love this.
They greet him in French. They ask him, you know, are you French? Do you speak French? Michelle says, no. And the guy says, do you speak French? And he says,
in French.
Yeah. He's like, in French.
What if it was? You know.
And he says, I'm just a simple country boy from Texas. I do not understand this Francais business you are babbling about.
Sure, Michelle. We'll go with that.
And of course, he's saying it in a French accent. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, buddy, you're from Texas. Okay, whatever. So Lorelai grabs him away.
And she's going to call him on his BS.
She reminds him, you know, the guy knows that he's not from Texas, is the way she says
Texas.
It. Yeah.
That's like William Shatner on Miss Congeniality. Texas.
But she reminds him, you know, I don't know how many French people you've met over the years, but most of them are insufferable, is what Michelle says.
Yeah, I thought it was and funny Lorelai's that he's a Frenchist.
Yes, like, he is, you know, a Frenchist.
He's a self-hating Frencher.
So Lorelai's like, really? And Michelle says, this is why I left France. And Lorelai's like, I thought it had something to do with the torches and villagers.
So she's basically calling him a Frankenshell. You get it?
Yes.
Frankenshell.
So she glares at him and you know, at that point, and he says, you're giving me that look, aren't you? Because he isn't looking at her. He's
and
got
she's
his head
definitely
turned
giving
away.
The look.
And he says, fine, I shall be French, but I will not be happy.
When is he ever happy?
And then she says, then you will be being yourself. Good choice.
Oh, I love when he goes over and talks to him.
So he goes over, he introduces himself. They say basically that he played a joke on them. Very funny, very funny. Yeah. And he looks over his shoulder at Laura like, kill me now.
Kill me now. Yes. End scene.
So I thought that was kind of funny.
That's great.
All right, so now we're on to Chilton and the bake sale, and I guess we're out in the kind of the courtyard.
Here's Lorelai's plan comes out.
Yes, Lorelai's plan comes out.
She had the cake covered.
She had Suki laid out this amazing table
spread
of desserts. Yeah. It includes creme brulee, and just as Rory is there,
when does
you know,
she ever go over the top? Never.
No.
She never. It's like Clark Griswold in the Christmas.
Asked everything. Was over the top.
You have vacation. Yep. He's like, when have I ever gone overboard? You know,
right?
Yeah,
so,
Dad. Whatever.
She lights the cooking torch because she's about to do the creme brulee. You know, and Roy's like, well, can I help? And she's just saying, no, this is too delicate of a thing to do.
Yeah, she should let Roy have a crack because this reminds me of my nephew. Speaking of Christmas, he was opening. So he was younger at the time, and I don't remember what age, about six or so, whatever. But he was trying to open his package with a knife, and I said, yeah, why don't you let me have that, buddy, and let me help you, and I don't want you to cut yourself. And what I end up doing, almost severing my finger.
Yeah.
Blood shooting everywhere.
Yeah, I remember.
And I was
that.
Like, well, you see why now, don't you? I took it one for the team, buddy.
Yeah, I just demonstrated this for you so you would understand
the rules of safety.
Yeah,
you know, safety
the
first
rules of state. Yeah. You see what I go through to teach you lessons?
I just thought that's hilarious.
Act like it was intentional. That's what she
yeah,
did.
I thought she was going to set herself on fire.
So, as she's telling Roy, it's too delicate of a procedure. She's rounding the table, and she's holding the lit torch toward the tablecloth table and immediately lights the tablecloth on fire. And Lorelai notices immediately. She goes to the table next to them, yeah. which happens to be two ladies selling lemonade.
Does she pay for it?
She grabs a cup of lemonade and throws it onto the fire and puts it out. And then when she goes to return the cup, she feels, I guess, a little flustered. And she says, "Here, I'll pay for it." Yeah. And then she's like, "Oh, here, I'll just take two. I'll drink one of them."
I would have just paid for the whole pit, the whole bowl there, just dumped it.
Oh, my Lord. But she takes a drink of one, and she says, "Tasty and flame retardant."
That's a good line, too.
I thought that was a great line. So, at that point, when she turns around, lo and behold, Max Medina is standing... Max Medina is standing there. Max
Medina.
And he says, "Very Henry VIII."
Yeah.
And honestly, I understand he's a teacher and I'm not, but yeah. I really don't understand.
I know about his wives being decapitated.
Why he would make that
stuff,
reference.
But I don't know why.
Because as far as I'm aware, none of his wives died by fire.
Or maybe he's trolling for his next victim. I don't know what's going on.
I don't get why he would make that reference. If somebody else knows
or
has
me
a theory.
In. Clue her in.
Email us, let us know. Yeah. So she says, "Mr. Medina." And he says, "Max."
She's beating a dead horse here.
She insists on calling him Mr. Medina. And
she doesn't want it to be personal.
Right. Yeah. She's trying to keep distance.
Yeah.
And she introduces him to Suki that way, too. And Suki's like, "What's the name again?" And she's like, "Mr. Medina." And Suki's like, "I know. You've said it a zillion times."
That's great. That's great.
So, Max.
She's giving her some shade.
Yes. So, Max decides to borrow her for a second, but she takes the torch away from Suki
and
if she's
like,
going to go away.
Me.
Yeah, yeah.
Safety
first. He basically says, you know, that he'd just really love for the ice to thaw. And she's like, "There's no ice here." And he's like, "Well, you've repeated my name four times. That's ice."
Yeah, I just thought about, like, how Rory's acting toward Dean. She's a little cold.
Well,
like mother, like
it's a
daughter.
Little bit different.
Yeah, yeah, it's a different
Rory's
here.
Just flustered.
Yeah.
Lorelai's trying to actually put some distance.
I'm just trying to relate it, though.
But, yeah, she says, "That's not ice. It's wintry." And he says, "Look, he was just doing his job by not letting Rory make up on the test." She says, "She knows. He said he'd do it again." Just really, he thinks that Rory is a great kid. He's gonna do his darndest to see that she gets through Chilton in one piece.
You know, I felt like Melvin, you know, Jack Nicholson on As Good As It Gets, so crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Right.
Because he's laying it on thick, you know.
Yeah.
I don't believe a word of that. I'm just gonna say
now. He hasn't actually laid it on very thick
yet. It's building. I'm just saying he's laying the groundwork.
So Lorelai tells him, "I appreciate that," and he's like, "And I'd like us to be friends." And she says, "Me too." And she says, "There's no ice. We're walking in a pool of tepid water." And he grabs her arm and turns her around so that way she'll face him. And when she does, they both say, "Good." Now she's starting to be a little flustered herself.
Yeah,
he's grinning.
He's got some cojones there taking her like that.
And he's going to say, "I'm going to propose something here. Not sure how you're going to take it." And she says, "Ooh, wow, intrigue. Okay."
Yeah.
And he's like, "I'd like to see you sometime." And he said, "Away from the gargoyles, away from here." And Lorelai's
the
like...
and the gargoyles, yeah.
Lorelai's like, "Are you asking me out on a date?" And he says, "Yes." So, I mean, I do like his directness and his confidence, but...
Yeah.
Is it
misplaced
confident?
Or misguided a little bit?
And I'm just wondering if it's too confident. Yeah. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't dislike Max. I'm still trying to figure him out. She says, "Don't want to go out on a limb here, but I'm guessing that if the headmaster won't let a kid be 30 seconds late for a test, he probably would frown on a teacher dating a mom." And Max just shrugs and he says, "I do my job well, dedicated to my students, and there's nothing in the Chilton Book of Ethics prohibits it."
He's pulling out the Book of Ethics, but I think he's leaving a little something out of there.
And Lorelai evidently thinks so too, because her response is, "I'm guessing it's an unwritten rule." And he says, "Do you want to go?" And Lorelai's like, "Rory would probably freak at the thought." And Max is like, "Do you want to go?" And Lorelai's like, "The other parents would have a field day with this kind of thing." And then he asks her again, "Do you want to go?" She says yes.
And he just keeps going, you know, it doesn't blow.
I honestly think this whole conversation up to this point, before she said yes, was her trying, A, to put the obstacles in front of him, but also I think she was also trying to talk herself out of it. But he just kept coming out.
I know there's a lot of...
"Do you want to go? Do you want to go?"
Yeah, I know there's a lot of Medina fans out there, but I don't want to say it's manipulative, but he's very, I don't know, what would you call it?
I'm not sure yet.
I don't want to offend him, because I know there's a lot of people like Max.
I'm not sure about Max yet. I haven't made up my mind.
But I call it like I see it, as
a man. For me, I kind of just want to see a little bit more.
He ain't going to take no for an
answer. Before I make up my mind. Yeah. But after saying yes, she wants to. She immediately backtracks. She says, I can't. It's wrong. It's weird. And then he says, I'll pay. And she says, you're on.
Yeah. Well, he's like using coffee as her kryptonite. He knows
right. How to get to yeah, it. He does. He's done his research. Thing.
Well, I'll give him that.
Well, she mentioned in the very first time they met in his classroom, this is terrible coffee.
Yeah, she must drink it. Yeah.
You know, but he says, well, then don't drink it. And she says, that's, you know, something about not doing that in my world. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So she then dithers again. Don't know. You're Rory's teacher. Could you quit? Then he mentions you like coffee. And she's like, only with my oxygen. Which I thought was a very funny line because we all know how much she loves coffee.
You know, she's
so it's like
she's
coffee conflict- and oxygen. She has to have both.
She knows it's not right. The whole situation about how he approached her going through her daughter and dating her while she's in his class. You know, he's her teacher. I get it's going to come out later, but I get all that. She likes him, though.
That's yeah, why she does.
That's why there's conflict going on.
There's definitely attraction there.
Yeah.
So Max suggests them drinking some coffee together. He said, you know, relaxed, casual, no strings or obligations. See if it's worth going down the road of throwing food into the deal.
Would he be so inclined to help Rory if he didn't have an attraction to Lorelai? That's a question, too.
That is a good question if you hearken back to the voicemail message.
But we're going to get into that
Would
scene.
He have gone the extra mile to convince the headmaster to let her do Rory do some extra credit if it had not been for Lorelai? Because remember, he leaves the message for Rory, but in the end speaks through directly to Lorelai.
That was cringy.
Wanting to see her again.
I have my mind on that.
But he goes on and he says, it's just coffee. Decaf? There's, you know, there's nothing safer than decaf.
No, that's wrong.
And she kind of mentions that there's a coffee shop she goes to after class at 4:12 in the afternoon. And if someone were to stop by, you know, and stop in.
If it was a coincidence, and just so happened to be there.
He kind of gives like a little nod.
He's picking the clue up.
Yeah, he's got the clue. So she says, see you around, Max. And he's like, indeed you will.
Oh, God.
So that's all that we have of that
He's
scene.
Very smooth. I'll give him that, too.
He's smooth, direct, and confident, for sure.
But is it in the right place? Is it?
I don't know. I don't know enough about Max yet form a judgment. So the next scene is Rory and Lane walking through town, and she's just kind of asking Lane, you know, because apparently Lane had said that she would, if there was any place in the world that she could live, any city, it would be Philadelphia. So Rory's questioning her on that.
Yeah, why Philly?
And she's like, why Philly? And Lane is like, well, M. Night Shyamalan lived there.
I love M. Night Shyamalan.
Yes.
Six Sense, Signs,
and
the
Rory's
Village,
like,
The Happening, Unbreakable, all those movies.
Yeah, right. Not all of them were super, but most of them were. But Rory's like, who? And it killed me that Rory did not know who M. Night Shyamalan was.
Yeah, like, hello.
It's like, you and Lorelai are movie buffs, and you don't know who M. Night Shyamalan is? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Get it together there, Rory.
So she said the guy who directed The Sixth Sense, Lane says.
Yeah.
And Rory's like, what would you do there? Lane's like, hang out with M. Night Shyamalan. Yeah. It's like, come on now.
Yeah. That was
and
good.
Rory's only response is, Ross guidance counselor off your list of career choices. I thought that was kind of funny.
She has a path, and she's going towards it. You
so
know?
They pass Babette and Maury, who are, you know, leading Cinnamon still in the little wagon. And she just happens to mention in passing, Cinnamon's a little dyspeptic. Maury is, too.
Yeah.
And Maury's like, it's bad clams. He said they ate bad clams
we'll
at Al's Pancake,
again,
Pancake World. And, you know, Cinnamon wanted some, and he must have fed her some.
You gotta get on me constantly.
You're always feeding the animals.
I'm bad about that.
I'm sorry, people. I know people feed animals their table scraps, but I am a firm believer in
it's not healthy for
what's told is that their digestive systems were not meant to break down human food. So it's not good for them.
And you're like, of course they love you more. You're always feeding them junk.
Exactly. They don't all love you more, but
well,
some of them do.
You claim that because they have a reason to.
Then again, sometimes I might just be trying to make a point.
I don't need to feed them that.
Yes, they love me regardless.
Just, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So,
I've been put in my place.
Rory tells Lane that she's, after Babette and Maury go on. Rory tells Lane they've just come up in front of the market.
Oh, she's trying to.
And yeah. She knows that Dean works there.
She's trying to get rid of her.
And she's trying to get rid of Lane. Yeah. She tells Lane that she needs to go into the store. And Lane asks, for what? And Rory's just very vague back to that. She's just really trying to get rid of her.
I think she's embarrassed of how she feels.
Yeah.
And she don't want her friend to witness it.
This is new to her. Right. Yeah. And so Lane says,
don't witness my shame, people. Yeah.
You know, Lane says, well, I'll go with you.
Yeah.
And Rory's like, why? And Lane is like, well, otherwise I'd have to go home. And Rory's like, home's good.
Yeah. When's that a good alternative?
Lane says, my home?
Yeah.
And Rory says, yeah, I don't need to go in.
She should have mentioned something else.
Yeah.
That wasn't a great motivator for Lane.
So after that, she decides to say, yeah, okay, well, I don't need to go in.
Yeah.
Lane immediately is like, well, I guess I'll go home then.
She turns around
and Rory's like, great, go.
Weird or something like that.
Well, no, she turns around and she says.
She kind of knows what's going on.
She calls her a freak and she leaves. And so Rory waits until she disappears around the corner and then she actually does go into the grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
And immediately we see Miss Patty. Miss Patty catches her and she
That's
tells
her. That's my girl right there. You know Miss Patty.
Oh, yeah, I love Miss Patty. And we're going to get to Miss Patty.
Oh, yeah.
Plays her.
Yeah.
Liz Torres.
Yeah, Liz Torres.
A little bit later.
That's my girl right there. She knows all. She tells all.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But
the all-seeing Patty.
She tells Rory, try a plum. It's better than sex.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm thinking.
Fresh fruits are always a certain sensuality about it.
Yeah, she says that.
I love that.
And I was thinking to myself, I've never thought about that before, but okay. Then
it's
she
one of
asks,
the delicacy, delectable fruits, you know?
Yeah. Well, then she asks Rory, are you too young for this? And Rory's like, definitely. And Patty is like, what are you here for? And she just kind of looks over where Dean is at the checkout lane. And Patty's like,
yeah.
You know, so Rory walks off. And as Rory walks off, up comes Mick, no-name guy, soon to be Kirk.
But he has a name tag on.
But he is, at last, finally wearing a name tag
that
bears the name Kirk.
I could see it.
Last time we watched this, we didn't get to see it on the big screen.
Nope.
Because we have a new TV, and it's a bigger screen.
The monster size.
We couldn't read anything on that screen.
Diddly poo.
Of course, my eyesight is absolutely horrible.
Well,
even with glasses.
When you reach a certain age, you need a bigger screen. You know what I'm saying?
I
agree.
So
it was an investment in our health.
That's why we upgraded our...
at least that's what I'm telling myself.
Our baby iPhones to pluses. Because we still have older models, but we have the pluses. So... He walks up to her and he says that he is the new assistant manager
here.
Oh, yeah,
she's busted.
He just saw her eating a plum and she should not be eating the produce, blah, blah, blah.
She claims she was sampling.
Yeah.
I worked at several grocery stores when I was younger, and grazing, that's what they call it, is frowned upon, and that will get you fired because they lose a lot of profit, evidently, from grazing.
If you're not making sure people
it'll
get you fired.
All you people out there that are taking a great pier and sampling, grazing, shame on you. But I've done it myself, so whatever.
So Rory decided to make her little outing a little less obvious by picking a couple of items to pay for. And
oh, Dean waved at her first, and she kind of ducked,
Right, right. So she's at the checkout lane, and they tell her how much it costs. She doesn't have enough money.
Oh, yeah.
He offers to spot her with the rest of the money, and she's like, no, I'll just take this head of lettuce.
I think you're right. He's trying to make it as comfortable.
Yeah, he is.
But he's
really
having
is.
Fun with it at the same time.
Yeah, he's kind of grinning.
We had a little discussion about that.
He is trying to make it comfortable for her because he can sense
But he was having a good time with it, too.
Yeah, but... He can sense that she's kind of a little embarrassed, and you know she is. She quickly pays for a head of lettuce.
Well, she's awkward.
And then she leaves.
Yeah.
Dean's jokes, you can definitely tell he is trying to help get her over the embarrassment.
She's never had a crush before, so she don't know what she's...
No.
It's a new experience for her.
Absolutely.
She's kind of conflicted. I feel this way, but I don't know how to act, you know? She hasn't had someone to teach her, because don't talk to her mom about it. She's hiding it from her mom.
Up until this point, she was at Stars Hollow High, and she was so much into her studies that I kind of got the feeling that she really didn't pay much attention to boys at all. So
even
her,
if they were interested, she wouldn't even
know.
Dean's
probably.
The first one to
actually
advance on her.
Well, yeah. So, I know that sometimes girls that are very, very into their studies can appear unapproachable.
Yeah.
To guys, so maybe nobody has ever really had the guts to go up to her before.
Yeah, even if they were
until Dean. Yeah. He had been watching her, he had worked
He's
up the courage.
He's a new guy, and he just... Yeah.
He decided to throw caution to the wind, he approached her, and...
What the heck, I'm gonna do this.
Yeah, absolutely, so I like that confidence about him.
Was a little stalkerish, though, I'll say that again.
No! But he was confident, and he's walked up to her, and now he's trying to break her down slowly but surely to get her to just talk to him, you know? Because she seems so babbly whenever they're together.
It's sad. I don't know how people get together anymore nowadays, because you can't even do that without getting arrested.
Yeah, I know, right? Things are getting
canceled.
A lot more strict around here.
That's all I'll say about that. Let's move on.
We'll move on. So we do cut to another scene here. So now we're in the coffee shop that Lorelai told Max about, and she's already sitting there at the counter.
This is where it all comes out.
Yes. This is where...
This is the scene right
this
here.
Is the really big scene of the episode, I think. She sits two seats
He's been
down.
Laying in wait, yeah.
So Lorelai says, so should we cut the cute and just get right
that.
To it?
I love that.
I did love that
but
line.
But have you ever struggled with knowing that you were making a bad decision, doing something wrong, but trying to work it out in your head to do it anyways to justify it?
Yes.
This is what's going on here. This is the underlining story.
Mm-hmm. So I like the fact that she said that, and his response is, I think we should date because we both want to. And Lorelai says, I want to be in the Bangles. Doesn't mean that I quit my day job and buy a guitar and ruin my life to be a Bangle, does it?
Yeah, Max is interested in what's in her room, and Lorelai should walk out of there like an Egyptian.
Right,
to be honest, I'm playing on their thumbs there.
Well, he basically says back, the Bengals broke up.
Yeah.
And she's like, not the point. And he's like...
That is the point.
That's got to
be there together.
He said, that's got to be part of the point if there's no band anymore. And Lorelai's like, why should we date?
Yeah.
And he's like, because we're both clearly attracted to each other. And Lorelai says, I like pie. Doesn't mean that I should date pie.
She does like pie.
I do want to say, I think this is funny because in the very first episode, when they go to Friday night dinner, their very first Friday night dinner, one of the only things that she says when they're just having their cocktails is, you know, somebody makes mention of, we really love XYZ, and she's like, and pie, you know, and then of course they eat a lot of pie over at Luke's.
Yeah.
She really loves her pie.
A lot of jabronis pie too. I just want to throw that in there.
Right, so she doesn't think that she should date pie. They keep bantering a little bit back and forth, and then Max finally says, I am the soul of discretion when it comes to delicate relationships.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a very interesting remark. And Lorelai must have thought that, too, because she responded back with, you've dated a lot of Chilton moms, huh?
Yeah, she's giving it back to me. I like this a little bit.
She caught the same thing that I caught.
Yeah, I caught. Everybody did.
Yeah.
That one.
And he says, no, I meant that any relationship were family. And he kind of stops talking at that point. Like, he almost doesn't know where he was supposed to go with that. And
yeah,
that
took him aback a little
bit.
He
almost seemed a little flustered at that point. Can't seem to know for sure because...
I don't think anybody's questioned him before about it.
No, but you can't really know for sure if he was flustered because Lorelai cuts in immediately and says, so you have things to hide in all aspects of your life. And he looks kind of exasperated. She starts asking him questions, you know, like whether he likes rap music. And he's like, yes. And Italian food. And he's always like, yes and yes. Me too. And then finally she says, are you just telling me what I want to hear?
Yeah, nobody likes that.
And he
says,
yeah.
Let me just tell you, I won't be buying a car from him anytime soon.
No.
He's like a used car. So he's like on them slicksters, shysters, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, it runs great. Yeah, it's got new tires on it.
Oh, do you remember that commercial that we saw that one time? It was in the middle of...
Oh, yes. This, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. It was a local commercial
here.
It's
a local car dealership.
Used to be. It's
closed
now.
And it was
now.
Called...
Trick It Auto.
Trick It Auto. And he accidentally, on a live commercial...
Yeah, said...
This was a live commercial.
Come on down to Tricky's. That's what...
Yes.
No, he said, it's the Tricky's Auto Assurance is what we call it. And he went, Trick It.
I thought I might laugh my butt
off. Yeah, I died that day.
That was hysterical, and I thought, well, there goes his job.
And about a few months later, the business closed.
Yes, it did.
And I was like, wow.
Because I actually went looking for it
later.
Well,
we drove by it. Yeah.
And it wasn't there.
I knew exactly where it was.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It was down the tube
of the
Super Bowl.
And this was before the pandemic and everything. So it was years ago.
Yeah, this was like
so
three.
So it was his little flub cost him his job and the business.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But you make a mistake like
that. They're car dealers.
On,
I don't expect
on the
much.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it was a live commercial.
Advertisement.
That could
How
been,
much did they pay for that ad?
Lord knows.
And it's a local.
And he totally messed that up.
Yeah.
Ooh, Lord.
I remember that. I'm glad you brought that up.
So, yeah, it just occurred to me.
That was great.
popped into my head.
I'll never forget that.
But, yeah, the other thing that kind of came to my mind as I'm listening to some of this is he's being a tricksy little hobbit. shout out to Lord of the Rings, if you haven't seen Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, she asks him, are you just telling me what I want to hear? And he says, yes. She's like, I knew it. And Max is like, it doesn't mean that I don't know how I really feel or something like that. And I immediately thought to myself, well, actually, yeah, it kind of does. And Lorelai must agree because she responds to him with, if you're telling me what you think I want to hear, then I'm not really getting to know you.
Exactly.
And Max's answer, which I thought was very interesting, was, but if I know what you want to hear, that shows a level of understanding on my part that far exceeds your level of understanding of me.
Oh, that's classic double talk. It reminds me of a politician.
Yeah.
So they kind of answer your question without answering your question.
So,
and then by the end, you're confused. Did he answer my question?
Yeah. So I kind of found this a little calculating in a way. He skates over her point.
Yeah.
By giving her a convoluted answer that attempts to make himself look good.
We all see through politicians, but they're masters at it.
Well, he kind of tries to make himself look good by saying, I know you. I've paid attention.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not answering her question. And it's like, see...
What's the deal, man?
It's like he's saying, see how well I see you? Isn't that great of me? But he didn't answer her question.
He don't know a thing about
it. Forget about all the lies I told you, though. Just just, yeah. You know, focus on the fact that I see you well enough to know what it is that you like.
Men always think women will fall for that, I see you, anyways, you know? That's the trick of the trade there. I see you.
And I'm thinking, yeah, so she is looking very confused at this point. And she said, and he looks back at her and he says, round one and already tapped.
Yeah.
And that's him throwing something back in her face
that she had said
to him earlier in their conversation when they were at Chilton. But I just thought that
shows that he's got some ulterior motives going on.
Yeah, if you're on the up and up, you're gonna say
straightforward. Just come.
You're right.
That's what she was asking.
You're
just be
right.
Straightforward
let's just talk. Let's just
cut
talk.
The cute. And
I'll tell you who I am. You tell me who you are. Let's get to know each other. Yeah. Blah blah blah. Why are you giving out convoluted answers like that that don't really answer the question?
Yeah.
But are kind of designed just to make you look good and to confuse the other person.
This scene frustrated me.
It reminded me of somebody that I know was in a relationship years ago. They were very good at confusing me with their answers and to where you get down to the bottom half of it and you don't even remember what your question was.
And they come out being the all intellectual knowing.
And they look
and
very smart
and you're the little one and don't know hill of beans, you know.
Right. So Lorelai's her answer is, Rory is my life, she's my pal, my everything. I would never, ever do anything that would hurt her. And there is actually a dude that comes and sits between them during this conversation.
Did you do this?
He's an older gentleman.
I kind of put myself in his shoes, like I was just coming in and sitting down between
them. And what would I think if I was hearing this?
Let me be like an observer here.
But he sits down between them to where Max is having to kind of lean forward to see her, and he says that he understands that, and he says, but Rory's not a baby anymore. And I'm thinking to myself immediately, I thought to myself, it's up to Lorelai to decide what her daughter is ready for.
Yeah. And when you say
not him,
it cancels out everything you just said.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah,
if you use the word but, anything that came before the but,
meaningless.
It's meaningless. What the person
this
is
what
truly,
I really want to say.
What the person truly wants to say is what comes after.
Here's
the but.
My real agenda. Listen up.
So if somebody says, I understand that, but
I don't care about that,
it means they don't understand and they don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is what I want to say.
Yeah,
and this is what I want you to hear.
That infuriates me sometimes.
Right. So the Lorelai says, don't say that. She's 8. She's 8 and her favorite hobby is making necklaces out of gum wrappers. And Max is like, you could be stunning her growth, keeping her in a box, blowing cigarette smoke on her.
Oh, God.
And
don't you just want to keep your kids young forever?
In a way, you do. I mean, your kids are always going to
be your
kids.
Babies, yes.
It doesn't matter what age they grow to.
They're going
to
be your baby.
My son is 30. When I talk to him on the phone, I call him baby.
Yeah.
When I talk to my, you know, daughter, who's only a year and a half or so younger than him, I call her baby.
Baby.
You know, I mean, they are my children still. It doesn't matter how old they are.
I don't care. care if you're 50 and I'm like 100, you're going to be my baby.
And you're always going to still be watching out for them.
Yeah.
You may not be able to control the situation anymore, but you are still there to offer advice and help steer.
And I wish I could.
You know, and that's the benefit of having the older, wiser person.
I do wish I could lock the grandbabies up in the box. They're just too cute. But anyways, that's another story.
But I just kind of thought, for him to say, what does that even mean? For him to, I didn't understand the tail end of the blowing cigarette smoke on her.
Stunning. That stuns your growth, supposedly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it keeps them little.
Well, I'm glad you knew that, because I didn't get it.
Well, we've all heard the harms of cigarette smoking, you know.
But at that point, when he makes this statement, you could be stunning her growth, keeping her in a box, blowing cigarette smoke on her. The guy sitting between them looks over at him like, I mean, makes a point of turning in his seat and looking full on. Yeah,
that was the WTF moment of the show.
The look on this man's face is just one of complete incredulity.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot believe you just said that.
Yeah, he's definitely astonished and amazed by the Medinas.
So, Max thinks that not going out with him is the equivalent to Lorelai putting Rory in a box and stunting her growth. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, like, well, he's telling her she's grown, move on, let it go. Don't worry about your daughter. Worry about yourself.
And worry about me.
Yeah, worry about me more importantly, yes.
Exactly. So, forgive me to all the Max Medina fans out there, but in this episode, to me, he is really not presenting himself very well. I don't know.
I'm usually one to hate one character per show, and he's getting my
Per episode, well, but per show.
Well,
you usually get over it at certain, you know, at some point.
The episode, current episode, I usually get with it.
Aggravated.
And he's got my full attention right now. I'll tell you that much.
He's got mine too. I don't know.
He's got my ire, you know.
I don't know if he's just not communicating himself well or not, but I tend to think that's not the case.
I think he is very well.
I think he is too, because a man as educated as him, who stands up in front of a classroom every day,
he's a good salesman,
and has to speak publicly for a living, I do believe he will know what he needs to say and how to say it.
And he's selling those beanstalk beans right now.
Even if I try to give him the benefit of the doubt, it's not working
for me. He's got some character issues going on.
It's not working for me to say that he's flubbing this.
He's flawed at best.
No.
Yeah, he's got something going on.
I think this is more calculated. So, at that point, he actually has to look at the man next to him, because the man's staring at him.
Yeah, he's not letting
go. And he just says, you are so taking this out of context.
It was like a look of, explain yourself, please.
Yes. But he tells him, you are so taking this out of context.
No, he's not.
But I don't think the man was. No. I think man had heard enough.
And he run him off. He got up and left.
He got up and left at that point.
He couldn't take it no more.
No.
He's like, if you're going to sit here and take it, I ain't.
So then we start off with what I'm referring to as story hour with Max. Because he has a nice long diatribe here. And
should I cue the violin music?
Yes. Yes. Cue the violin music. Or maybe it should be the Mission Impossible music.
Oh, well. I don't know. That'd be more fitting, I guess.
But he says, okay. When my uncle was a young man, there was a girl that lived across the street from him.
Sorry.
Yeah, got it. No. Wasn't being literal there. And he says he was completely in love with her, but he never talked to her, even though he knew this was the girl he wanted to spend the rest of his life with. So he watches her, waiting for the right moment to approach her. Next thing he knows, he gets drafted. He thinks it's perfect. He'll come back. He'll have a career. He'll have served his country. He'll be worthy of her love. And I think Lorelai busts in at some point and says, this is going to be sad, I can tell. And he's like, just listen.
Yeah, I'm smelling something here, and it's not roses.
No. And he says he gets back and finds out she's moved away.
Yeah.
And he never saw her again.
Of course.
His uncle didn't say much, but what he did say was, if there's something in your gut that you know is the right thing, you got to go after it no matter what. What do you say?
Yeah.
And he asked that of Lorelai.
Yeah, that's reasonable, isn't it?
And Lorelai just kind of pauses. She kind of looks like he told her a sappy romantic story, you know, knowing that's the kind of thing that would get to her.
Well, that's pointed.
Because he's already established the fact that he knows what she likes.
Oh, he's working it.
So I think that he knows that a sappy love story would get to her.
Oh, yeah.
It would be something she would want to hear, in other words. He immediately gets up.
Well, it's like a good romantic comedy. All women like that, you know. He's laying it on thick.
She caves at that point, and she agrees to go out with him. So he immediately gets up.
Don't trust the man. And starts to walk away. That always say the right thing.
Right.
Don't. I'm just if it's warning too, to all women out there.
If it's too good to be true, it probably is. Yeah. But he, now that he's got her agreement, he's done.
Yeah. Oh, he
gets up immediately, and as he's walking away, mission accomplished. She stops him, and she asks him if the story was true.
She knew.
And
women's intuition always knows.
He gives her, like, a look that, to me, almost looks like a smirky smile.
Oh, yeah.
It's a smile, but it's got some smirk behind it. And he says, "Goodbye, Lorelai Gilmore."
Ooh, that reminded me of Dean saying it. But not that Dean was meaning it that way, but it just came out that way.
So both of them got a goodbye, Lorelai Gilmore, today.
One was Dean's awkward. Dean's was
cute and awkward.
Yeah, one was...
awkwardly taken by Rory, but sweetly... almost. sweetly said by Dean.
Yeah, and one other one was maniacal, almost. Like one of Disney evil villain
go,
of Disney.
I wouldn't go so far as say maniacal.
But you see him like an evil Disney more character?
More like smug.
You know? Like Cruella or something, something like that.
I saw it more as smug because he was smiling, but it had that smuggy smirk behind
wouldn't
it.
Wouldn't you like to know
but what I'm up to? Honestly, for that to be his parting remark, it said to me, so your story wasn't true. And that's your answer. Yeah. That's the answer to her question.
I smelled it.
When she asked, was the story true?
Yeah.
By saying goodbye, Lorelai Gilmore, you're avoiding answering. And if you're avoiding answering, then you didn't tell the truth. Well, the story was not true.
He was avoiding the whole time. Telling her what she wanted to hear, not answering directly. She told him to cut the cute, and he didn't.
No. Yeah. He kept it going. So we flash over, and now we have Suki and Luke talking at Luke's diner. And they're joking around together, you know, and Lorelai happens to be sitting there, and they're talking back and forth. And when Luke passes by, you know, he just happens to ask, when do they ever get any work done, you know? And then he goes off into the back, you know.
How many people have gone into an unhealthy relationship, and they've justified it to themselves, their friends?
Well, this is exactly what Lorelai's doing.
This is what's setting up here.
So Lorelai's mentioning that she met someone. Suki's at first like, well, good, you know. And she said, well, there's good things and bad things. He's a teacher. But he's sexy, he's smart, funny, he likes coffee. And I'm thinking to myself, yes, everything that's superficial.
Oh, yeah. There's no deeper... well, they haven't had that chance yet, but still... shouldn't that talk have led to some deeper...
Usually she told him to cut
it out and get serious.
Usually you can tell a little bit deeper about somebody by that point. They've talked about 3 or 4 times now.
But it's like Suki said in the previous episode, you know, women want to change a man. But right. you can't, ladies. Suki's I'm telling the one that you, said, you cannot.
Suki's the one that said,
you can't teach women old always think they tricks.
Can change men. So at that point, you know, Suki, as she often does, gets distracted and asks Lorelai, you know, looking at Lorelai's burger, did you get onions? Lorelai says no, so Suki yells for Luke. She's
nowhere to be found. So.
Lorelai said, well, yeah, of course. So she actually starts to get up and go behind the counter to get the onions herself.
I got a bone of contention with this. The only thing, I get she's a chef and she's used to fixing food for people and everything, but don't come over and put salt on my food. I got some hypertension. I don't want to get a stress out and heart
attack.
We're
coming to that. We're coming.
But I get it. It was cute.
We're coming to that.
Yeah.
But Lorelai says she just wants to do the right thing. And Suki says she doesn't see the problem. And Lorelai is worried about Rory. Lorelai says, you know, she gets attached. And what if I decide he's not the one and we break up? And Suki said, well, you know, Rory isn't a baby. And all the while, she's still behind Luke's counter. And she's putting garnish on this person's plate. She's salting or peppering.
The salt thing I got against her.
Other people's plates, you know. But she does say, you know. She just
made herself at home.
She does tell Lorelai, well, Rory isn't a baby. And she says, I know that's what he said. She said, maybe I should loosen the rules a bit. So here we are. And I thought to myself, okay, if you suddenly find yourself thinking that you need to loosen the rules.
When has she ever said that before?
You're trying to talk yourself into it.
Yeah, she's never done that before.
So maybe it's not such a good idea. True, Rory's not a baby, but if she still feels that this would be bad for Rory, and that's her mom instinct, then she's trying to talk herself out of that instinct. Yeah. And talk herself into thinking this is all going to be okay. So she says it would be nice to get...
I was thinking about that because that was very telling.
So at that point, Luke comes out and yells at Suki.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, you don't do yoga on the Dalai Lama's mat and you don't come behind my counter, period. And he tells Lorelai, you bring her again, I want her on a leash.
And then he walks off.
I love that whole thing. He was in and out.
So this has happened
just
before.
Just to say that.
Numerous times.
Yeah. So Lorelai says, I'll keep it simple. I'll tell Rory that if there's an ounce about it that is uncomfortable, I'll cancel. So Suki says, you haven't told Rory yet?
Yeah.
And Lorelai says, no.
This,
Suki says, oops. And Lorelai's like, no oops.
Yeah, no oops.
She says the timing's just not been right. You know, it's delicate. It's a fragile situation. It's like one of your souffles.
Yeah, and that's when she says, it's funny thing about my souffles, it takes 45 minutes
in advance. You have to order it in advance.
Yeah, because it takes that long to make it. And I was thinking, you should have told Rory in advance before you even went to meet.
Was that Suki kind of subliminally trying to tell her? Oh, yeah. Suki, you should have already told her by now.
She claims ignorance to the fact that she's got some good insight, but she's spot on most of the time.
She was a little surprised when she said, there was surprise in her voice when she said, you haven't told Rory yet?
Yeah, oops.
So, yeah, and oops.
That was the telling of it
all. But what I thought was funny about this, after Luke comes out and yells and then leaves, I thought it was funny because before Luke came out, she was all, I just don't know. Maybe I should loosen the rules?
No.
You know, but there's good and bad, and I just
She's
don't know.
She's never done that.
Then Luke comes out, which gives her a couple minutes to think. Soon as Luke leaves, the first thing out of her mouth is, I'll keep it simple.
Yeah.
So she's already kind of rationalizing. But if she's saying the timing's not been right, it's delicate, it's a fragile situation like your souffles.
When it's a difficult situation like that, maybe it's best that you don't do it.
If you're trying
to... Just think to yourself, if it's this hard,
if you're
maybe it's not a good idea.
If you're having to talk yourself into it... Yeah.
And make excuses and justify it. Maybe it's not the best thing for you in your life.
Think about that, people. I remember a similar situation that I was in once upon a long time ago where I had to be talked into...
Dating me?
No. So it was way prior to you.
Okay.
But...
Just making that clear.
I had to be talked into something. I really had to be talked into it. And I went ahead and let myself be talked into it and then spent some subsequent years pretty miserable. So, I mean, if that tells you anything... But at that point, Rory comes in and just says, kind of drops a bomb and says, you better come at Cinnamon.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is the major. Yes. This is the whole.
This is the main event.
Title show. Yeah.
Cinnamon's Wake. So at that point, we are at Babette and Maury's house. Cinnamon has, in fact, departed this world.
This got to me, too, because they were, you know, you always regret, you blame yourself. What could I have done more? What if?
Yes.
You know, we got through that today.
Maury thinks it's the clams.
Yeah.
And he's saying, if only I hadn't fed her the clams, you know.
We still do that nowadays.
He says, I'm never going to eat clams again. And Roy's like, me either.
We'll get to talking about it.
In solidarity.
And we'll be like, if only we did this sooner.
I know.
Yeah,
you can what if yourself to death over something like that.
Don't blame yourself, people.
It's pretty sad.
Unless you had a gun and pulled the trigger, don't blame yourself.
So at that point, Michelle arrives at the door and Lorelai greets him. I guess she must have asked him to bring something to her because he's carrying something he gives her. He says, oh, is this a party I wasn't invited to you? And she's like, no, it's a wake. And he's like, who died? And she said, their cat. And he just stares at her. And it's like...
I think the whole town turned out for that.
And I'm thinking to myself, you can see about six seasons ahead, he's singing a completely different tune.
Oh, yeah.
I just think that's kind of funny, something to look forward to. Patty comes in. Smothers Babette in a hug.
Yeah.
Oh, honey, what do you need? And Babette's like, a little air, you know, which I think is hysterical. Luke and Suki are arriving at the same time. They both try to go in the door together. They get stuck in the door frame together, and they both look very irked at each other.
Oh, yeah.
And ever since he got on to her at his diner about coming by.
Well, there's a little healthy competition between the cooks there, you know.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah.
He lets her go in first. She starts ordering where this should go and this should go. Which table, etc.
This is me.
Luke just drops his stuff down and said,
Dig in,
everybody.
This is me. I just throw it down. And she's all, maybe we should have this over here. This spread over here. And he's like, it's food.
Right.
Eat it.
So,
I was impressed by the turnout. I keep mentioning that.
Oh, because, there were tons of people.
Because I dare say there was more turnout for that cat than the cousin, Lorelai's cousin.
Well, we don't get to see that, but probably. Because if anybody else is unable to remember her as Lorelai was unable to remember her, then maybe there weren't that many people.
I think a lot of people feel the same way as me. They care more about their fur babies than the real. I'm not saying their own children, but, you know, most people.
Yeah.
Most people get me hurt and let me down. So, my dog is faithful. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Dogs are faithful. People, not quite so much.
Yeah.
So Dean arrives at the door, and Roy just happens to be standing near there, and there's a cute little moment here. He's like 6'5", so he has to duck under the door, because we're going to get onto the house here in just a minute, but he's having to bend down to get in, which I assume Luke and even Maury have to do. He's like, oh, I wasn't expecting you, and Rory's like, or me, you. And then she looks flustered, and she says, I mean, you, me. And then she says, I mean, come on in, you. And I just thought that was such a cute and awkward moment. from Rory. And Dean just kind of chuckles, and he's carrying drinks, you know, so he walks on in. So at that point, we kind of flash over, and Lorelai walks up and asks, you know, who was that? And Rory still hides his name and how she knows him, except to mention that he went to her old school, but I go to Chilton now. And Lori's like, thanks for the update. Lorelai's like, okay. So she's still kind of keeping that from her mother, which I think is funny.
Here we go again with them hiding their things from each other.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, right now we have...
When are they going to learn?
So right now we've got Lorelai still hiding Max from Rory, and Rory, after several episodes, still hiding Dean and who he truly is from Lorelai.
Yeah, there's not really much going on there.
Yeah, so at this point, Dean kind of, you know, Lorelai's run off again. Dean comes up to Rory again and asks her, do you have a second? She says, no, I have gum, and I have to get back. And then she follows him outside after he looks a little kind of awkward, like, okay. And he just decides to leave. And she follows him outside. She watches him leave. And as she's there watching him leave, she sees Max Medina, her teacher, across the yard at their front door.
Yeah,
at their house.
She's thinking she's in trouble, or what's he doing at my house?
Yeah, so she calls for Lorelai.
She can't fathom and be there for her. Lorelai.
Right, and Lorelai sees what she's looking at, and she says, oh no. And Rory says, that's Mr. Medina. And Lorelai says, tonight's Thursday. And Rory says, am I in trouble?
Well, no, Lorelai says, her sins are being found out right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right.
Omissions.
Right, and Lorelai says, no, you're great. Let me be back in just a sec. And Rory's like, what's going on? Lorelai's like, let me tell you in a minute. And yeah. Rory's like, tell me now.
Here it comes out.
And Lorelai says, Max is here to pick me up. And Rory's like, pick you up for... Oh. Yeah, yeah. I thought that was kind of a funny reaction. Pick you up from...
He's not moving her around. Just kind of picking me up.
Right. So Lorelai kind of puts Rory off and says, I'll be right back. So she runs after Max.
Let me defuse this real quick.
Right, let me take care of this problem. And she tells him, I'm so sorry, you know, I forgot. He says, oh, so I'm unmemorable. And she says, she's been memorabling him all week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is actually exactly what she said, memorabling him all week.
Max here is just hurt, upset that other Chilton moms hadn't blown him off. He don't know what to make of this.
If he's dated other Chilton moms.
I'm just assuming.
We have yet to confirm. But
he wants her to chase him for a while now.
Yes.
Because he's going to pull that whole, oh, I'll just take my ball
toys and go home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
But she tells him there was an emergency, and he asks, you know, is Rory okay? And, you know, she says, it's the neighbor's cat.
He ain't buying
it. It's a very fat, beloved cat.
Well, it is. Look at the turnout.
And he just stares at her, and he says, I like you, but I don't want to force something on you that you don't want. And he starts to walk off. And she follows after him, and he acts like he's laughing, like it's an excuse that she's making. And she says, you know, let's call, and we will reschedule. It's definitely what I want. And he turns around and he's like, are you sure? And she says, cross my heart and hope that no other neighborhood pets die on that day.
You know, it's funny.
And he's
that
like, okay.
He's totally turned it to where she's pursuing him now.
Yes.
Begging him, basically.
It is kind of funny how the tables have turned. Yeah. It's really little weird.
That's why I say manipulation, because he's totally got that whole thing turned around. But you might disagree with me, but that's my view on it.
Because he had been chasing her like crazy up to this point. And now all of a sudden she's running after him and apologizing and stumbling around and whatnot. We go back into the house, and there's Suki and Luke bantering about food, having, like Mark said, their food rivalry, but there's some respect there, you know.
Yeah.
And they're kind of doing that.
They're just two different realms there, aspects of it.
Yeah.
He's a laid back cook. She's a fancy chef.
Perfectionist
type
chef.
Yeah, and she's trying to put that into his, and he ain't having it.
Right, right. I do me, you do you.
Just let me be me, yeah.
So at that point, Kirk walks up to Patty, and he says, I wasn't aware that you were the Miss Patty.
Yeah, you better recognize, that's Miss Patty.
Says, you're one of our best customers. According to the owner, you're one of our best
customers. Yeah, the owner. We still don't know who the owner is.
The owner has not quite been mentioned yet, but that is coming. He says...
The writers almost just plug them in as they go.
Yes.
You know? We finally got a hold on who Kirk is.
Right.
And what he's going to be. Now we need to figure out who's going to be the owner here.
Well, there's still much yet to be learned about Kirk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's not sell him short. He's not just grocery store dude. But he says to her, you can put anything in that mouth that you want to.
Yeah,
and then he said those were his words.
Yeah, he's paraphrasing that.
Yeah. And Patty tells him to stop sweating, close your pores. I always forgive once.
Well, didn't earlier she said if you had a different hairstyle, maybe I could date you or something?
Yes.
She said something like that.
But this is actually, in this conversation, is
Miss Patty's always down to
date anybody, pretty much anybody. Yeah. She's always looking for a man.
Oh, yeah.
But this conversation between the two of them, this is the first time that anybody has actually referred to him by name as Kirk.
Yeah.
So now we don't just have a name tag. He has gone from Mick to no-name delivery guy to a Kirk name tag to now being called Kirk. And forever he shall remain. So that's good. We now have a Kirk.
Yeah.
All right. So then after that interesting little conversation, when I heard that line from Kirk, I died laughing. You can put anything in that mouth that you want.
Yeah.
Wow. What a can of worms that could have opened.
You're saying that to Miss Patty, mind you.
Yeah. You're saying that to Miss Patty. You could have opened.
Her eyes kind of lit up a little bit.
You could have opened a really big can of worms if you'd done that. Yeah,
more than a can.
If that had gone on.
Maybe a keg full.
And you learn more about how Miss Patty is like that as the episodes and seasons progress. It's funny. All right, so then we flash into the kitchen, and Lorelai is in the kitchen with Babette, and she's cleaning out one of the pantries, packing up the cat's medicines, she says. And Lorelai's like, it's like looking at a scene from the kitty version of A Valley of the Dolls. And because one thing that struck me is the ceiling is incredibly low. All the cabinetry and the sink and the countertops are all very, very low.
Well, I get that, I guess, in the kitchen, but why do they have the framing of the house, of the hallways and the doors? Why are they so low?
I don't know.
I guess maybe she just feels more comfortable that way.
I think Babette mentioned something about, you know, I don't know if she actually addresses it, but apparently the house has been lowered for her. To suit her height, because she's very short.
But he's 6'6".
She's 5'1", and he's 6'6". I get that. But my sister is 5 foot.
Yeah.
And she has, like, vaulted ceilings in her house, and everything is up at a big level, you
can't
know?
You just get a step stool? Hello? For crying out loud.
That's what they're made for. And
there is a way other than lowering it and then making somebody else uncomfortable.
Right.
But what's she saying?
Like, it's just like,
he doesn't complain.
Babette says, you know, I just don't know what I'm going to do now. You know, you live to take care of your kids.
Yeah, that hit me right there.
That hit me too, because
I do.
If you've got a pet, you know, our pets are our kids. And that's, I mean, they,
well, like
that's
I said,
how they feel
we
to
took
me.
Care of Frodo the First for a year.
Yeah.
That last year. And I loved every minute of it. Didn't put me out. I lived for it.
In case you missed that reference when he said Frodo the First, yes, there is a Frodo the Second.
We introduced Frodo and Dobby.
Oh, that's
Bobby,
true.
One of the podcasts.
Okay.
When they bark.
Yeah, we do have a second Frodo.
Yeah.
He looks almost identical to Frodo the First, but he's got a very different disposition.
Let me say, it took both of them to make up for the one.
Yes.
Because he was a special.
He was very special.
Special man.
Yeah, he really was. We both loved him so much, and we always used to say, if something ever happened, if we were ever to get to divorce, we would not care about the house, the cars, anything. We would be in court over the dog.
Yeah, there'd be some litigation there.
Yeah. So, yeah, that lucky that didn't happen.
Who gets the child? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the child. That was our child.
Yeah.
So, at this point, Lorelai decides that she's going to help.
God. She tried to help with the dishes.
Yeah.
She's trying to, like, figure out, how do I bend over?
Yeah.
And
at first, she's trying to bend over to help do the dishes, and finally, Babette comes over with
a
stool.
Yeah, it's like trying to wash a dog in the tub.
Yeah.
But you have to bend over. They make special tubs that are about waist high to make it easier on. I'm a dog groomer, so I know all about this. But, yeah, that's how I likened it, too. Like, it would be a pain in your back.
Right.
But awkwardly, she's bending over.
So Babette gets her a stool. She says, here, sit on this. Maury sits on it when he helps out. And Lorelai is like, how does he get around? And she said, well, he had a couple concussions his first year here, but he never complains.
It should be the other way around. How do you get around? Step stools.
Right.
Why make it totally inconvenient for somebody else when it's not their
problem? Six, yeah.
It's not their problem.
Well, I guess because
I was trying to wrap my head around this the whole time.
I guess because the house was already like that when he moved in and he chose to
do that. Maybe that was, she already had it like that. Maybe that's why, because we never understand, do we?
No, I don't think it's ever really explained. So I think
she had it that way, then she met him.
Right.
I'll have to look into that.
But then she
I'll do some Gilmore on that. Yeah.
She goes on to explain, I don't know what I'd do without him. And Lorelai kind of looks at her with concern, and she says, she'd heard on Oprah that there are couples who lost a child and most of the marriages went belly up. And I never thought, you know, a man would even want me.
Yeah.
And Lorelai says, Babette, I know the feeling. And Babette says, oh, please, with that. And she says, give me a break. And Lorelai says, well, I mean a man to want me for more than just my
ass. Yeah, I was going to say with that cake, but you stole my thunder there. Yeah, she said, oh, please, with that cake.
Yeah. And Lorelai said, no, for me. The whole package, annoying neuroses and all. And Babette says, you'll find him. Might even be that stud that drove out of here with the Mustang.
She's like Miss Patty and her work together. And they know all the gossip.
Yeah, and she asks her, you know, how's the sex? And she says, well, we haven't even gone out on a date yet. She says, but I'll call you during the cigarette. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Well, she needs to know because it's got to get around town.
So then we pan back into the living room. Maury is playing piano. Luke is sitting on the stool next to him. Of course, he gives way when Babette comes over to join him. So Lorelai and Suki are kind of standing off to the side. And Lorelai tells Suki that Max showed up before she could tell Rory. And Suki says, oops.
Again, the second.
And Lorelai says, stop with the oops.
Things kind of have a way of working themselves to the surface. You know, the cream rises to the top. You know what I'm saying?
She says, stop with the oops. It's not that bad.
And it's a big surprise that Rory would be upset.
Yeah.
Why is she missing an act?
She says, she'll understand. You're crazy. She knows that. But
she's putting it delicately.
Yeah.
Rory's ticked off.
I think she's just trying to make Lorelai feel better at that particular point. Yeah. So then it flashes outside and you see Rory kind of sitting outside. So she's obviously got a lot on her mind. She's probably thinking through the whole Max Medina just appeared on my doorstep thing and my mom was going to go out on a date with him. So she's pondering that.
Who appears behind her?
Dean.
Stalking again.
No.
He just pops up out of nowhere.
Yeah, he does.
He's in the shrubs, man.
But he comes up to her just to say, you know, I feel like I've been...
I thought he left already. See?
Well, he came back. But he comes up to her and he says that he's been bugging her lately. He thought she was interested. Obviously, you're not interested, so I'm going to stop.
Obviously.
And I did think that I liked his straightforward directness here and the fact that he just kind of hit it head on and he's starting to walk away. But she follows him and says, wait. She says, I am interested.
Yeah. Well, see, she just doesn't know how to act.
She doesn't. This is her first foray into anything.
And he needs to cut her some slack.
Well, I don't think he realizes.
He might be coming on too aggressively for her because of that.
I think he's starting to, now that when he hears her say, I am interested, but then she immediately says, I gotta go. And
slow down.
Well,
how do you take it? I'm not used to this. You need to slow down a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, I kind of see that. But to his credit, he did kind of smile, a little small smile, which maybe kind of indicates that he gets it.
Yeah.
And he realizes, okay, maybe she is not
I need to approach her a little differently. Enough. Yeah.
Yeah, he might have gotten a sense of just how little experience she has with this sort of thing.
Up until now, he's pretty level-headed about this.
He is.
He picks up on the clues.
He does. He's pretty good at that.
At first, he was like, why isn't this working? I thought she was into me. But when he made the decision, okay, I'm just going to stop, then her feelings came out.
Well, after her behavior on the bus.
Yeah.
And then after her behavior when he first got to the house and she's so awkward.
Yeah.
Where she's blowing flubbing him off. What she's saying. Yeah. And then now, you know, I think at first it confused him and made him think she doesn't like me.
Yeah.
But then when she says, no, I do, then he smiles and I think he realizes, oh. So all of that before was just, she didn't know how to behave at my attention, you know, after my attention. I experienced
something similar, but.
Yeah.
When I decided to back off a little bit, that's when the magic happened, you know? So.
Okay, now you're going to have to explain what you mean by that because nobody knows.
Well, I was pursuing you, and it wasn't going so well for me. So I was like, at that point, I truly decided, well, we'll just be friends. And the next thing I know, we're having a date, and we're we're moving along.
Well, put some context around this. You pursued me for 4 months.
Yeah.
In which point of time, I kept telling you, no, you know, I don't see you that way. I
didn't take it to the level of a Max Medina.
No.
I was just interested.
You were interested. He was very sweet. He wrote me letters. He wrote me poems.
Flowers. flowers.
Flowers. You know, it was nice. I was just being very cautious.
I was showing interest.
Of prior relationships. I was being overly, you know, very cautious. So at that point, we change scenes and Lorelai catches Rory on the porch. And she says, he and I were going to sort of hang out. And Rory was like, on a date? And she says, no, on something that could appear like a date to the untrained eye. And Rory's like, and to your daughter's eye?
A date.
And she said, it was a date. And I thought that was so funny. And Rory was like,
appearances can be deceiving, but not on this.
Not on this. Rory knows her too well. And Rory says, when were you planning to tell me on your wedding? She says, well, at the rehearsal dinner at least.
After the honeymoon, I would say.
Yeah, probably. If she could get by with that.
Yeah.
And Rory's like, he's my teacher who teaches me things in a very small classroom in front of a lot of other kids who probably aren't going to be high-fiving me when they find this out.
Yeah, that was my whole point early on. That's a good point. And we had this discussion. You were like, no, it's not. I was like, yes, it is.
What point?
How she would feel that it was inappropriate. How Rory would feel that it wasn't. No, it's a conflict of interest. And you were like, no. And I was like,
no, I was talking about from the school standpoint. The Rory personally, standpoint.
That's where I was coming from.
The Rory standpoint, I was always about, okay, she would feel awkward about, okay, that. Yeah.
And we're on the same page.
And I feel like Lorelai should be listening to her daughter at this point.
She even knew better.
And her daughter's feelings.
She knew better.
She did know better. So Lorelai,
she brought that up to Max and he blew it off.
Right.
I got the book of ethics.
Right. So her response back to Rory is, yes, I told him this was one of the things I was concerned about. And Rory's like, and? Lorelai's like, and he felt that we could be discreet. Yeah. And Rory's answer is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's some.
So obviously she's still.
I'm with her on that.
She's not able to believe that, you know. And she says, "I still can't believe that you didn't tell me about this."
Well, she has no room. But to at be that point, that shade at her mom.
Exactly. At that point,
now
I'm thinking,
getting ticked at Rory on this.
At that point, I'm thinking again, pot meet kettle.
Yeah, yeah. Come on now.
You're hiding the whole Dean thing, girl. From, you know, from your mom. Than that. But Lorelai's answer is, because I thought you would take it bad. Thank God I was wrong. I just thought that was a funny line.
Yeah.
So she offers not to date him. But Rory says, no, you can. And Lorelai says that she didn't mean to. You can't control who you're attracted to.
Yes.
Yeah, she says the whole Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton thing really proves that.
Yeah, explain that one to me. That's like the Lyle Lovett and, you know.
And Julia Roberts.
Yeah, Julia Roberts. What?
Yeah, I mean, I get you can't control who you fall in love with, but there are certain couples that when you look at them, you think, how?
But to their credit, if they ever had children, they probably would have been beautiful. Because, you know, when some, I ain't going to say ugly, but yeah, when some ugly people get together, they get good looking kids.
You know? So you are going to say ugly.
Yeah, okay. I guess I did.
Okay.
Yes, I did. I went
all right,
there.
Just lay that on out there.
Well, there's no other way.
Okay, so Lorelai says she'll never keep anything from her again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, because didn't they already say that a few episodes ago?
The pattern since the pilot has been deception. So I'm not going to believe it till I see it.
And it started with the pilot because you got the idea in the pilot episode that they didn't ever keep anything from each other.
They constantly say, we tell each other everything. But all I've seen is deception.
Right, but now all of a sudden. During the pilot episode, when everything started to change for both of them, all of a sudden they start keeping all this stuff from each other.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. When reality impacts, the lies start flying, boy.
So I don't know. I understand Rory's perspective, but I think she is being a little hypocritical here because, hello, Dean. All right, so now they're in the house, and as soon as they walk in the house, the phone is ringing. Thank you for the sound effect. That was brilliant. She answers the phone, and lo and behold, it is Emily Gilmore, her mother. And
why didn't she leave a message? She's like, I don't leave messages.
Emily was like, I've been trying to reach you all afternoon.
Yeah.
She's like, well, why didn't you leave a message? And she said, I don't leave messages.
Yeah, didn't she say, if I wanted to talk to a machine, I'd talk to my VCR?
Yes. And she says, where were you? And at that point, it pans up to Rory, and Rory's like shaking her hand back and forth,
like,
and shaking her head.
Don't do it.
Don't say it. Don't say it. And Lorelai is like, I was out of weight.
Rory's like, I tried to warn you. She's over there looking like, oh, smacking her head, you know. I tried to warn you.
And she continues on and says, it was at the neighbor's house for their cat. And
it was impromptu.
And then Rory gets this look on her face like, oh my God, you're busted now.
Yeah, it was impromptu. I didn't plan it, you know. Yeah. But she's
excuses.
You could take off for that, but not your own cousin.
And then all of a sudden there's like silence from Emily.
Yeah.
And she says, hold on, I'm looking aneurysm up in the medical dictionary. here to see if I just had one.
I tell you, Emily's rolling with these one-liners on this
episode. On this episode.
She wasn't in the first and last scene, but she had some gems.
The first four episodes, like I said, she came across as kind of very mean. But in this episode, she has cracked two really good jokes.
It's mean-spirited, but it is a joke.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
So they argue over her being able to go out to, you know, to get out of work for a cat funeral.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not for Claudia's funeral.
Yeah.
You know,
Claudia, you know.
So,
the cousin she met it too.
At that point, Lorelai's had
enough. She left a lasting impression on
Lorelai. Evidently. So at that point, Lorelai's over it and she says, you know.
I mean, they watched the moon landing together.
Exactly. How could she not remember that at 2 years old? So Lorelai says, it's late. I have a big day tomorrow. Emily, again. Going to a raccoon's funeral, are you? So, yeah, she's definitely
hitting it. Yeah, she had the quips going.
She had the quips going Quippy. In this. Yeah. What's up, Quippy?
Yeah.
Lorelai keeps bringing up to Rory that she doesn't have to date Max.
Yeah.
After the phone call's over. She won't let it go. She keeps bringing it up. I don't have to date him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rory, she just keeps being very nonchalant. Her answers have this kind of amused sound to them.
Yeah.
And
she knows her mother. She knows it's not going to work out like that.
And she just says, well, you know, just think about it. And if you have any problems, you know where I'm at. I'm upstairs. So Lorelai starts to walk away. And Rory says, think you can keep him out late Thursday? I have a quiz the next morning.
As long, it's like not dating Luke so she can still eat at the diner. As long as she gets something out of it, she's cool.
Right. You know? So Lorelai says, I'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
And that's how the episode ended. So it did end on a good... Rory was upset, but it did end on a good note. And I'm assuming that part of the reason why Rory kind of eventually accepted it was because, hello, Dean. And she's got her own secret, again, that she's not copping to. So...
Yeah, definitely a pattern there.
So, okay, at this point, you want to talk about Scott's podcast.
Yep.
Over this episode.
His podcast, The Counter is a Sacred Space. And I guess we know why.
Yes.
Because Suki won't stay out from behind his counter.
Right.
You know, Scott's made an interesting point. He said, this episode should have been called Somebody's Gonna Get Some. I thought that was funny. But anyways, I digress. No one's good enough for Lorelai in his eyes. The jealousy rearing its ugly head once again.
Well, yeah. So let me kind of harken us back to Scott Patterson's prior episode where he actually started talking about her Hands first off. Encounter with Max Medina. Yeah. And his jealousy started to appear in that episode. And now it just gets even worse.
No one touched Lorelai. Hands off Lorelai.
Yes.
I've stayed up nights.
Scott Patterson.
I'm going over this.
Yes. Scott Patterson definitely went all in, no pun intended, on
the hate.
How he felt about this episode, Max Medina trying to court Lorelai and all the different things that he's doing.
Yeah, it was funny. He actually had a call to arms, you know, with his interview with Ted Rooney over there. And he was like, and I was thinking there, I got your back, Luke. I got my crowbar in my hand. We're going to take care of this Medina character. Forget about it. A little, coming out.
And that's actually a very good segue into who did he interview for this episode.
Yes, he interviewed Maury, played by Ted Rooney. A lot of interesting facts I found out about him during this interview. He's 6'6", which we
That knew, is a tall dude.
But Bette was 5'1", so that's like it's like the Richard-Emily mismatch, you know.
Well, Luke is no shorty himself.
No, he's up in
and the And neither sixes. Is Dean. They're both 6'5",
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And I think that Edward Herman, who plays Richard, is 6'5". So yes. He's even got an inch on them.
Yeah, he's a tall guy.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, he played basketball semi-pro in Europe. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, that says it all. He also was in the movie Legally Blonde, which ties into Sally's musical appearance in Legally Blonde. They also have something. He was the admissions guy. But he also has something in common with her. He and Sally went to the same high school in Portland.
Oh, wow, really?
Grant High School in Portland, Oregon. You find out that when he appeared on set and he mentioned his father, she knew immediately who he was because that was her favorite teacher. Ed Rooney, not to be confused with the Dean of Students in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, played by Jeffrey Jones. Yeah, different Ed Rooney there. So, you know, he was the seventh of nine children. They had that whole Seattle, you know, Portland thing in common. But he was also known for his role on ER as Dr. Tabesh.
I didn't know he's on ER either.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I have on him. I'll have to do some more digging. But that was what I picked up from Scott's podcast.
That's cool. And then Scott's podcast, when they interviewed him, it was all about his jealousy.
The vitriol.
Of Max Medina. Yeah, I think that's
He didn't hold no punches. No, to say that
he did not hold back any punches. All right, so at this point, let's do our favorites.
The Loreline.
So, what was your Loreline for this episode?
Loop the whole going back to the is counter sacred space. You know, if yeah. you bring her again, I want her on a leash. I mean it.
I love that.
The Dalai Lama line was good too.
I love the Dalai Lama line. For me, that was one of my main contenders. But I did go with, for my Loreline this time, I went with Emily's line. I don't think Claudia is planning to die a second time. Because I just thought that was really
See you
funny.
On the flip side there.
Yeah. So really, I think Emily had three really good one-liners in this episode.
Oh, yeah. That was classic.
What about your favorite, Rory?
Michelle pretends not to be French.
I love that. That whole scenario. My Rory this time was Friday Night Dinner, which we opened with.
Yeah.
The episode opened with it. Number one, the reason was because we did not get a Friday Night Dinner in the prior episode, in episode 4.
Yeah, I missed
so
that.
I missed it. So I liked having that back, even though Richard wasn't there. It was still fun. And Emily actually cracked a joke for the first time.
Yes,
and
indeed.
I thought, what are the implications behind that? Are we seeing a softening of her? Is she loosening up a little bit?
I think it's when Richard's not around. That's my
we'll have to test
personal
that theory.
Take on it. Yeah.
Let's see if she makes jokes when he is around.
Yeah. And the dreaded Emily.
Yeah, the
Emily goes to the whole coffee shop, Lorelai Medina, get together.
Okay, my Emily was
rendezvous,
the same.
I'd call it.
My Emily was the coffee shop scene, too. That was my least favorite scene because I just felt that...
The low-rent rendezvous.
There was a lot... Yeah, the low-rent rendezvous. I just thought there was a lot of calculation there. Medina was very dismissive of her concerns about Rory.
Yeah.
And I think...
There's a lot to go over. You can go back and listen.
He ignored her question and did a roundabout.
I think we took longer
it.
On that segment than anything.
We did. And then her...
A lot to digest.
And then him telling her an untrue story just to get the argument over with and to get her to comply. I just wasn't down with that. I don't know. And I may be misjudging him completely. Like I said earlier...
Sorry, Max Medina fans.
We haven't seen enough Max to have a really truly good opinion about him yet. Yeah. We don't know enough about him to form a good opinion or bad opinion.
I had to single him out on this one. Sorry.
So right now I'm kind of neutral.
Yeah.
But I'm just picking up certain things I didn't
like. I got my eye on you, buddy.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Kind of just picking up on certain things that we might not have liked. But we're still open-minded and willing to see what he turns out to be like as things progress.
We sure will.
So as promised on our last episode, we are establishing a rating system.
Oh, yeah. That goes back to Casey's
email.
Last time.
Yes. And we have not received another email. So somebody email us.
Bring
us what you think. All right. So the way our rating system is going to work is we're going to do 1 through 5. And since they all live in Stars Hollow, these are going to be Hollow Stars. Okay.
All right.
I know it's silly. Just go with it.
Okay.
So, it's a 1 through 5 with 5 being best.
Leave it to Shannon.
Yes, leave it to me. I didn't come up with that, Salinas. 1 is basically, it wouldn't be an episode that I'd watch again. Not real memorable, not memorable enough. It might have had some issues, etc., you know.
Okay.
A 2 is good, but nothing really, really stood out. A 3 is a good, solid episode. So, there's nothing wrong with a 3. 3 would be
a solid 3.
It's a solid 3.
Okay.
It's a good episode.
I got you.
I enjoyed it. It was good. A 4 is above average episode. So it's going to have had some great moments, some lessons learned, some really funny things. It might have missed an aspect or two that would make it a 5, but overall, it was just a little bit more above what a regular good episode would be.
I'm following you.
And then a 5 is perfection. It had it all, and I would want to rewatch it again and again.
Okay.
So,
with that in mind,
what is your Hollow Star rating?
Well, like the previous episode, I'm going to have to go with 4 out of 5 Hollow Stars, I guess I'd say.
And why are you giving it a 4?
Well, one thing, Emily was back.
Yeah.
And I love that. Kirk is pretty much a fixture now, I'm assuming. He has a name.
Yep.
The known man has a name.
Yep.
And I don't know. Things that hit home to me relating to my own pet. And I would watch this show again. I wouldn't not avoid it. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely a rewatcher.
Yeah.
I restream.
You think it was above average?
Yeah. Okay. The whole Max thing got me. It's like what you love to hate, I guess, kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree with all of your points. I also gave it a 4 Hollow Stars out of 5.
And, of course, Miss Patty, you know.
Yes. I just feel like we got to learn more about a lot of different characters in this episode. Oh, yeah. A lot of
reality impact in here.
Yes. And there were some funny moments, serious moments, and Friday Night Dinner was back, and I love that. I love seeing Emily cracking some jokes. So I thought this was a more memorable episode than some of the regular ones. Yes.
The 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. We are in agreement. Well, all right.
All right. We got our first rating down.
Yes. All right. So with that said, thank you guys for listening as always. And be ready to Ready, Set, Stream Season 1, Episode 6. And we will talk to you again soon.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Bye-bye. 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 Bye.